Grace and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message today, as we conclude our sermon series working through 1 Corinthians as the handbook for the church, comes from the last 12 verses of the book, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 through 24, specifically verses 13 through 16. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these, and to every fellow worker and laborer. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As we finish this church year, today is the last Sunday of the church year. Next week is the first Sunday in Advent, which marks the beginning of the church calendar. As we finish this church year, and we also finish our sermon series working through 1 Corinthians, we are left with the conclusion to Paul's letter, his final instructions to the Corinthian believers, how they are to behave toward each other within the church, the last thing they need to remember until he writes to them again. He reminds them of their faith in Jesus Christ, giving them some encouragement as they continue faithfully to live out their callings as followers of Jesus Christ in this world. For us today, we can reduce Paul's instructions down to 3 points. Stand firm, do all in love, and be subject. And we'll take those three in order. We start off with the faith, Paul's instruction to stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong. And Paul has talked about what the faith is that they are to stand firm in multiple times in his letter, starting off all the way back in chapter 1. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And why is this? God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Or again in chapter 3, no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul instructs the believers to stand firm on this firm foundation of Jesus Christ. Do not be distracted from him. Jesus, who is the true God and yet also became true man through natural human birth, as all people have. Jesus, who confirmed his nature as God and Savior by performing miracles, by teaching the wisdom of God. Jesus, who lived a sinless life in our stead and paid the penalty for sin also in our stead, neither of which we could do for ourselves, he did for us. Jesus, who died on the cross as a criminal and rose to new life as a victorious conqueror. Stand firm in this faith. Do not be distracted from it. The devil will try to distract you from this Jesus. Do not let him. The world and its temptations will try to draw you away. Do not be deceived. Your own sinful nature is weak on its own. By the power of the Holy Spirit working in you, the new man created in baptism will stand firm. Keep your eyes on this prize, the salvation which Jesus has made yours through faith, through baptism. It is yours. Now, as we stand firm in this faith, Paul goes on to instruct, let all that you do be done in love. And love also is an important concept throughout 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You've all heard at least one wedding, probably, is all about love. If I have not love, I am nothing. Or again, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Now, remember, Paul is not talking here about romantic love, self-serving, self-important love. He is talking about the self-sacrificing love which Jesus shows to us. As members of the church, as believers in Jesus Christ, Paul instructs us to show this love to one another. This means putting the needs of others ahead of our own. It means sacrificing our own wishes and desires for the sake of others. It means when someone is hurting or suffering or in need, whether in the church or outside of it, we provide what they need in a spirit of love, showing the love of Jesus to them. In fact, Paul instructs us to do everything in love, no matter what it is. Now, serving your family or friends, it's easy to do that in love. Encouraging someone with a smile, what's the saying? It doesn't cost anything, so it's easy to show love that way. Praying for your enemies and persecutors, that's a little harder to do in love. Giving of your own free time and resources to help someone in need, it's all too easy to grow resentful and leave the love aside when it gets hard. But even when it becomes difficult, God still gives us the love with which we serve him, the love he shows to us first. Remember Jesus' words in John chapter 15, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends, and that is the love that Jesus shows to us. Or again, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God shows us love first so that we may then show that love to others. Paul's final instruction to the Corinthians and to us as well is to be subject to every fellow worker and laborer. And this is important to remember. This has been the point of Paul's entire letter and of this entire series. We are not alone. We are not alone in the church. It is easy to lose sight of our connection with the rest of the church as we sit in church along with a bunch of other people. A lot of times we focus more on ourselves than on those around us and our connections to them. And yet, we are not alone. But how often does our consideration of the church and its mission stop as soon as we've considered its effect on us? And yet, once again, we are not alone. We are surrounded by fellow believers in the church, all of whom encourage us with their faithfulness, and whom we in turn encourage with our own faithful service. If anyone else listened to the Lutheran Hour this morning, you heard a story from Pastor Ken Klaus talking about a member of one of his congregations who had finally gone completely and totally deaf. He could not hear a word of the sermon, he couldn't hear a note of a hymn, and yet he still continued coming to church. Why? Because that way everyone could see and be encouraged by his faithfulness. Other people look to us for guidance and support and encouragement as they continue to walk through the faith. If you've ever brought a friend to a party where they didn't know anyone else, you know what I'm talking about. Your friend relies on you to help them fit in, introduce them around, show them how things work, and that holds true in the church as well. A friend you bring into the church will look to you for guidance and encouragement. And God has, in turn, given us people to support and encourage us. In our reading, Paul lists some of these for the Corinthians. Stephanas and his family, the first converts in Achaia, who have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Or else Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, believers who helped to encourage Paul in his missionary journeys. Paul instructs the Corinthians to be subject to such as these and to give them recognition. And so also he says to us, as we stand firm in our faith, we look to those around us who have also stood firm in their faith. As we serve God in love, we look to those around us who have also served God in love. Look around the church. Who do you consider your fathers in the faith? Who in our congregation has supported and encouraged you, or in your home congregation? Who has picked you up when you were discouraged? Who has provided that steady hand in the face of difficult times? Who has sacrificed and worked to serve faithfully? Such people are gifts of God to us, worthy of our respect and our admiration, and yes, recognition. A full year, almost, we've been working our way through 1 Corinthians as the handbook for the church. We've talked about sin and grace, church discipline and reconciliation, the means of grace, what it means to be a church member, and the importance of the resurrection to us and our faith and our life in the church. Ultimately, all of this can be summed up with the words of today's text: be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Standing firm is not something we can do by ourselves. We are not called to be individual Christians doing our own thing. We have been united together with the whole Christian church on earth as the body of Christ. We have been gathered together into the local congregation. As part of this congregation, we grow together in our faith. We encourage one another. We experience God's love in our worship and share it with one another. Every member of the congregation is important to its mission. All of us work together to reach out with the love of Jesus. We all encourage and are in turn encouraged by everyone else. That holds true for the oldest members just as much as for little Jeffrey, whom we baptized this morning. And we are all united together through that baptism and in the one supper in which we will participate in just a few minutes. Praise God for our congregation and for all its members, and may God continue to bless us as we serve together, standing firm in the faith which he gives us, serving one another in love, and working together as his people. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.